All right, we're going to go ahead and get started today. You are in the session called Tips and Tricks to Make the Most Out of Your SharePoint Site to Maximize Adoption. Laura and I had the goal of having the longest session title, so we wanted to make sure we kept throwing in additional words to make sure it was nice and long. So my name is Jennifer Mason, and this is Laura Rogers. We're going to be co-presenting through this session today. And in the slides, you can find out information on how to contact us online, our different blogs and things along those lines. So today, we are going to talk about different tips and tricks that you can put in your sites to help maximize adoption. I know a lot of you guys, I've seen feedback on Yammer and stuff like that about Serial and Steve and Dux's session about building solutions that are sustainable and different things like that. And so this is kind of a little bit of a departure from that. We're going to talk about adoption, but we're going to go back into some of the just the features inside of SharePoint. So things that Laura and I have seen from the trenches that you can do within your SharePoint solutions to make for a more usable solution and to make your users enjoy the solution more. So we've broken it down into six different areas, six different tips, and we're going to kind of go through each one of these different tips and then show different things you can do inside of SharePoint to really bring value to your site and make your users want to use the site. So
you'll be able to have things that you can take away today and immediately go implement on your SharePoint site too.
Yep. And this is really just a small part of the larger issue that is user adoption. So in a lot of the sessions you guys have seen, they've talked about techniques and different ways that you can build a culture where people are adopting your site. And it's really all about people using your site, people engaging in your site, and then taking it to that next level. You can build the most technical, wonderful solution in the world. However, if no one uses it, it's not really a good solution. So it's not necessarily about the technology, it's about the users understanding what's in it for me so that they're going to be able to use the site. So users really just want solutions that are going to help them work better, help them come in, do their job, empower them to do different things. And so what we wanted to pull together is, you know, what are the common things and the common scenarios, that we would like our users to be able to do? And then what are some of the different things that Laura and I do when we build out solutions on a day-to-day basis that help kind of drive this? So we're going to show you a ton of different tips and tricks, and not every one of them is going to apply to your solution, but there's going to be different things that you can pick and pull and put together like pieces of a puzzle to build out a final solution.
And what all these tips are going to have in common is we're going to use just a marketing website as the site where we put everything in. And all these tools Jennifer's mentioning, these aren't necessarily all brand new tools. These are going to be, some of these things have been there a while, but, you know, it might be a fresh new way of looking at it and, you know, something that might have been a feature that was kind of buried in there that you never noticed and little things like that.
Yep. So we came up with a couple of questions when we first sat down and said, what are we going to do in this session and how are we going to do it? What do we want to focus it around? And we wanted to, you know, for the solutions that we have built that have been the most adopted and the ones that people are using all of the times, what is it that's driving them to it? So we came up with a couple of questions that we think you guys are going to be able to use as you're looking at your solutions to say, can my users say this about my solution? Is it easy enough for me to find everything I need without having to go in multiple places? Is it easy to find the content I need to complete my everyday task? And then it's easy for me to tell when new and relevant content has been added. And so what we want to be able to do is focus on the user completely, figure out the questions that are important to them, and always remember that the technology is just one simple, small part of the equation, but if you don't understand your users, you're never going to build adoptive solutions. So you want to kind of take all of those things that we've really been discussing throughout the entire conference in this track and now apply them to say, okay, if I know my users need to, you know, navigate easily, what are some of the features inside of SharePoint that I can do with no-code solutions to try to build out those things? So now we're going to jump into the different tips and tricks.
And we're going to alternate. She's tip one, I'm tip two. We're just going to go back and forth, et cetera.
Awesome. So the very first thing that we're going to talk about is creating meaningful navigation for your users. I love my users, but sometimes I can build what I think is the most awesome solution in the world, but bless their hearts, if they can't navigate through it, they don't like it, they don't like me, and they're frustrated. So sometimes spending all of that additional time on navigation will pay off in the long run. So we want to have meaningful navigation. We really want to focus on, can a user quickly find what they need And how quickly can they find it when they need to find it? So there's a couple of different things inside of SharePoint that are going to aid in that. So we have managed metadata navigation. We've got just the quick launch and the basic navigation. We've got some different things we can do in the style of the site to change it up. And then we also have some new features in 2013 around the promoted links list. So what we're going to do now is hop over into presentation mode. Okay. Now, this site that we're working on right here, Laura kind of mentioned it before, is a marketing team site. So this is an example site that we put together of things that are common when a team is collaborating together. So when we want to look at the navigation, we want to first talk about the different components that we have. So across the top, we have the global navigation or the top link navigation. And along the left, we have the quick launch navigation. So these are different things that we can access inside of SharePoint to drive our users to the site. As we see right now, this is a pretty busy navigation set. There's a lot of pieces there. It's a lot of words. And so as a user is going to it directly, they may look at this and go, what? There's so many things there, I don't even know where to click. So Microsoft has made it extremely easy for administrators of the site to be able to go in, simply click on the links to say edit, and then to be able to move things around. So for instance, if I decide, you know, maybe the notebook isn't something that I want to promote here, I want to promote it in a different way for people to get it, I can just go ahead and click on that and remove that from the navigation. So in addition to being able to go back into site settings and navigation to control things, I can also very easily do it from the browser. I can also come over here, say add a link, and you know, I might want to say search it, and of course go to bing.com. So as I'm putting this here, it's going to go ahead and add it down to the quick launch. So I can add and remove the links the way that I want to go and do that. So that's pretty common. A lot of us have been working with that through the years of SharePoint. But there's also some other things that they've made possible for us to do. So one of those that I want to show is the difference between the Seattle navigation and the Oslo navigation. So Oslo, not to be confused with the new app that they're calling Oslo, but, you know, I had to be the one that's got to call it the same thing. If you go into site settings, how many people have played with the change the look features where you can easily go in and change different things on the site? Okay, this is a great way to add some spunk to your site, to put some background images, change some colors, do some different things along those lines. But what a lot of people don't know is that you also have two different layouts that you can choose from. The first layout is the Seattle layout. It's the default layout, and it has the quick launch along the side, and it has the global navigation across the top. The second one that you can do is what's called the Oslo navigation. I'm going to go ahead and set it to Oslo, and I'm going to say try it out. We're going to get the famous working on it. This is when you're doing a demo and your heart sinks because you just hope that in just a second it actually finishes working on it and shows it. What this is going to do is...
It says it shouldn't take long.
It shouldn't take long at all. It's nice and friendly for you. It's going to let me know what it's going to look like. I know that I'm going to want it, so I'm going to go ahead and just say yes, keep it. What this is going to do is it's going to remove my quick launch navigation, and instead of having it along the side of the page, it's going to put it on the top of the page so that I can access the content this way. If you have a site where you want to give a lot of content to users, you can use this approach to get rid of that extra navigation and instead focus on the content. So now I can keep coming up here, and I can keep editing and making these changes. So that's one of the things that we can do inside of the site design and layout to just get a different aspect of navigation. So instead of having to go into SharePoint Designer and have to hide the quick launch, anybody ever do that in previous versions of SharePoint? Yes, yes, I felt the pain. This was much easier, wasn't it? So just a couple of clicks, and we've changed it along. So it creates a different way so that for different types of sites, we can have different types of navigation. The third thing I wanted to show with navigation, how many people have needed to do cross-site collection navigation? Yes, that's a very, very common one. Happens all the time that we need to do it. With 2013, I'm going to go ahead and go back into site settings here. I'm going to go into my navigation settings. You can see here that I've got the global navigation and I've got the current navigation. I'm going to go ahead and change the current navigation so that we can see it. And instead of doing structured navigation, I'm going to use managed navigation. So this is using a term set inside of the term store where all my items are stored. If you're unsure of what that is, Lori Gowan actually has a session in the next spot where she's talking about content types and managed metadata. So you guys could go ahead and hop over to that session and learn a lot about that as well. But once you had the term set, you could go point to it. So I have a term set for navigation. I have an item, a set called intranet. I can click on that. I'm going to come down here and say OK. And what we're going to see now, then we come back here. I'm going to go turn it back. Let me change the look back. Okay. All right. Let me go back to Seattle. Okay. So what this is going to allow us to do is we're going to be able to build the navigation in the term set, and then wherever we want to apply it, it's going to show up. So that means that I can have a certain set of users, especially like in an intranet site, solution or something like that, where you want to have single navigation, you want someone to own it, you don't necessarily want just everyone to be able to change it. You can help them set up the site so that they're pointing to the term store. There we go. Get this back here. There we go. So now you see you have it. It's matching my term store. So in any site collection that I was using it, I would be able to go there and use that cross-site collection navigation. Update it once. If I was to make a change to it, I would be able to see that everywhere. How you make a change to it is in site settings, you can go to the Term Store Manager. And you're going to be able to see your term set, and you can make all of the changes that you need. So this is going to be one way that you can do that cross-site navigation, which is going to make it a lot easier for your users to navigate when you have multiple site collections. Maybe you have a lot of content and you can't fit it all inside of one.
Makes it easier for you, the site admin, to not have to recreate the exact same navigation in every single site collection, too.
Yes. And the very last thing we want to talk about in navigation is one of the new list templates inside of SharePoint that's called Promoted Links. So when you get a new site and you create it inside of SharePoint 2013, these fun little boxes come up that are like getting started. That's based off of the promoted links list. And what that is you have a list inside of SharePoint where you're able to point to an image, you're able to point to a link, give it a little description, and it is going to build these tiles for you. So you are able to come over here and, okay, click here to see the latest collection of videos, click here to see images, click here to see branding guides. And these are just links that are going to help users navigate through the site. But if your users are anything like my users, a little bit of color and a couple images makes them very happy people. And so how we're able to do that is through a list we have over here that is called the promoted links. We have a promoted links list. And you see that it's a simple SharePoint list. This is the tile view. But if we come over here and go to the all promoted links view, we're going to see that this looks very much like a standard SharePoint list because that's all that it is. What is awesome about SharePoint list is item level security, which means if I need to have a selection of buttons where managers only see it, I can have a group of managers have a link there and build out the different tile sets. So it's very easy to get that crisp look and feel with zero code, and you don't have to resize your images. They're going to fit into that. It's also themable. And so what does that mean? That means if, you know, my company is orange today, but tomorrow we're blue, when I go change my design to blue, those images are going to automatically update. So it's a great way to add some value to your site to help users navigate through the site without really having to do anything extra special or write any extra code. So going back over here, the key with the navigation is really finding the right balance, figuring out the use cases that are going to make the most sense to your users. Highly unlikely that you're going to use every different piece of navigation that I just showed you guys, but you may have a site where you get rid of all the navigation and you're just using promoted links to help them navigate through. You might go with one where you're just using the term store, or you might just use the standard quick launch and top link. The beauty of it is that based on your scenario, you can do it, and you can switch it with each one, and you have a lot of different tools at your fingertips to do it. Okay. Something that you will find in our PowerPoint presentation is we know that we are going to be flying through things. And if you've never seen the promoted links before, if you've never seen the managed metadata, you might not know how to necessarily do that. So at the end of every one of our sections, we have a set of additional links that you're going to be able to go download. And this will take you to links to walk you through how you can rebuild all of this in your own environment.
Okay. All right. Tip two is to create a personal experience, and a personal experience means, you know, when a user goes to the site, they see content or information that is tailored towards them, whoever they might be, whatever role they're in, or their title, their department, etc. So there are several different ways, a plethora of ways in SharePoint to sort of mix and match to be able to accomplish this type of thing. Audience targeting. Audience targeting, audiences in general have been around, you know, for a couple of versions of SharePoint, but there are a lot of different neat ways to slice and dice it to be able to show content to the right audiences. So first of all, with audience targeting, you have navigation. You can go into any individual navigation
link. How many people are using audiences?
Anybody?
That's
a good bit.
There could be more.
I usually don't see that
many.
That's true. So it seems to be kind of one of those little features that people forget about or they've never seen. But yeah, audience targeting can be done with navigation links. It can be done with lists. But another neat thing you can do is just take a web part. Just take a web part on your homepage and make it so that certain people can see it. Now, what is an audience? An audience is something you've defined. It's either an Active Directory group or a SharePoint group of people, or an audience that you've defined in your user profiles in your admin section. But it's going to be people that are either in the same department, they have the same job title, they have whatever that particular audience is, project managers, marketing managers, people that are site members could even be an audience because that's a SharePoint group. So you have a lot of different ones that are the SharePoint groups that are in there, so you can target information to them. So I'm going to go through these three different ways, and then I'll demonstrate all of them. Another concept is filtered views. Now, obviously, views in SharePoint, we've always been able to go in and, you know, create different views in our list, and you always have that, you know, for any people field that you have in there, you can use the little me in brackets, so you can say created by is equal to me, assigned to is equal to me, modified by is equal to me, any field that happens to be a people field. So what I'm going to show you is just another concept of just creating sort of like a dashboard for people to just see the content that applies to them all in the same place as opposed to having to go from list to list. And then with out-of-the-box web parts, there are several different out-of-the-box web parts that you can use that, again, some of them have always been there, but they let you tailor the information specifically to that person that's logged in. So like the content search web part that's new in SharePoint 2013 has got functionality in there that lets you look at who the currently logged in user is and show them relevant information across SharePoint that has to do with them, that maybe was created by them or something like that. The content query web part is one that can be used in conjunction with your audiences. So there's actually a checkbox in there that will let you show information that displayed in the content query web part that is related to the currently logged on individual. You also have all those filter web parts in the enterprise version of SharePoint. One that's really useful for personalizing information is the current user filter. So that's going to let you put that on the page and then pick a specific Active Directory property about looking at whoever the currently logged in user is. So you can say, look at the currently logged in user's department or their name or their job title. And that's going to be information that you can pass from that current user filter web part to other web parts that are displayed on the page.
And something that's really exciting about a lot of the things that we've seen in the keynote this week and seen in different sessions is that the future of what's coming and the different things that are going to be released more often are very focused on that user and getting that experience. And so if you're in one of those environments and, you know, what can you do until the features come and different things like that, you can take advantage of some of these features as we wait for future releases of the product when these things are going to be more readily available and just naturally exist.
Right. Just one of the out-of-the-box web parts that can let you personalize and show information that's relevant to currently logged-in user is the Tag Cloud. You can make it that's got a setting that lets you set it so that the Tag Cloud is going to show tags that the currently logged-in user has used. So I'll go ahead and do a demonstration of a couple of these functionalities that I've talked about. I have on this site, I've created I'll show you real quick. I've created a SharePoint group called Marketing Managers. I'll go to People and Groups here and go to Marketing Managers. So I'm in the group, I'm a manager, and a user called Molly is in the group. Jennifer Mason is not in the group, but I'm logged in as Jennifer Mason because I want to show you kind of what that's going to look like to her. So I'll go back to my home page, And I've also created a list, and I've called it Manager Announcements. So here's my Manager Announcements list. So I want to gear these announcements on the homepage to just the managers. I only want the managers to see them. And again, there are obviously at SharePoint many ways to do the same thing, but this is just one way that you could go about targeting that information to the managers. So I can go ahead and edit this page. And I'm just going to stick this web part right at the top. And I'm going to look for my manager announcements here and add that. And as I'm editing the web page, and when I'm in edit mode, when I put an audience on it, I'm still going to see it when I'm in edit mode, but as soon as I save the page, it's going to disappear. So I'll go ahead and show you where the audience goes. It's under the advanced tab here, the little advanced section in my web part settings, and I'll say marketing managers. Or I could use the little people picker to find it. Okay, so now I've set up a target audience for that web part, so only people in the marketing manager's SharePoint group will be able to see this web part. And remember, audiences are not security. And I'm going to make this announcements web part look a little prettier, because the view that it puts on here by default is kind of not the nicest looking. So I'm going to change this to summary view, and then click OK. And then it'll more look like kind of the announcements that you've seen before. It's given me this error before, and then it just goes away. So, okay, now I am logged in as Jennifer, and I am not a manager. So the web part is, it's not even there to me. It's just disappeared. But when people who are our managers go to this site, they're going to see the manager announcements, because it's important to them. So that way, when people go to SharePoint, you're going to know that whoever they are, they're going to see information that's relevant to them, and they don't have to go digging for it, because that helps them get their work done faster and more efficiently. There's also a web part called Relevant Documents, and I'll just go ahead and show you that real quick. I'll put that on the page. I hit edit, and the wheel is spinning. Okay, Relevant Documents is in my content roll-up. And this is going to show the logged in user documents that they have been creating or modifying. And so, again, immediately when they go to SharePoint, they see stuff that they care about. So that's just another quick thing that you can add there. And then another thing I've done, when I mentioned the filters you can create in your list, I created a whole page, a whole dashboard, and I just called it Work in Progress, or you could call it My Work in Progress, or My Stuff, or something like that, so that the user knows that that's for them. And then when they go to this page, they see everything that's filtered on this page is just using a filter that's geared to that currently logged in user. So you can use created by is equal to me. This task list is assigned to is equal to me. Branded guides is, you know, created by or modify is equal to me. So you can see, again, this is several different lists and libraries that we've compiled onto one dashboard for them, but it's quickly giving just the information that they care about. All right, I think we can switch back. And we've got another slide having to do with, this is some resources to show you how to do some of those things that I just showed you. And I recently wrote a blog post called Out of the Box Web Parts, and I pretty much went through every single one of the 70 or so Out of the Box Web Parts and described them all and showed examples and things like that. So if you want to know anything more about those three, you can go read about it. All right, tip three.
Awesome. Next, we're going to move on to tip three, where we want to drive, process, and automation of common tasks using workflows. So we can personalize the sites. That is awesome, but sometimes we have to help encourage our users to get to the sites. And so there's different things that we can do using workflows to give the users just a little different aspect with the site. You can go in and automate process so that instead of having to send things back and forth, it's going to go through process naturally and notify them along the way. The more you can automate for your users, the more likely they're going to want to work within your solution. So if there's, they're getting used to a new way of doing things. They expect everything to be immediate. You know, the industry is just changing. Everyone's got a device. They should be able to connect to everything everywhere. Why do I have to do things manually? And so if you can go in and fully understand what your users are doing and then build these different workflows that can help automate that for them. We have a couple of automation examples I'm going to show you guys. These are two extremely common ones that I use, but again, this is a very broad demo, so kind of extrapolate what I'm showing you into a real-world scenario. Not necessarily these demos won't be completely that. But the first one I want to show you guys is a example of an item gets added to a list, and we want to send a notification when that happens. So imagine we have a scenario where there's a task list, there's a team working on it. Maybe I'm the task manager for that team. I want to be notified immediately if a high priority task gets assigned to me or created. And so I'm going to come over here to our task list. There we go, marketing task right here. I'm going to go into the task list. And you see I've got the email that's running with it. So if I click on this here, it's an email that's already run, and it says the status of this task is high, so an email notification has been sent. So this is a workflow that was built inside of SharePoint Designer. So I'm going to switch over there and show that. I've got my site open here. I've got my workflows, and I've got a high priority task notification. I'm going to go in and edit the workflow. I'll give it just a second to finish loading. And this is just basically saying if the current item's priority is equal to high, log something in the status history list that says it's high and send off an email to someone. When I click on email the marketing managers, we're going to see that a new high priority task has been created. This email is to provide you notification of the task, and then it's going to have all of that additional information from the task in the email. So I can be notified immediately and remain informed of different things that are happening. So you may not use this concept with a task list, but there's probably other areas within SharePoint where you have content where you can use this to build custom notifications. It's a little different than alerts, because an alert is going to give you information, you know, based on views and different things like this. This allows you to get a little bit more granular and also have a little bit more customization of the email that can be sent. Okay, so we have this piece here. Coming back over to the browser, if I add a new task here, I'm going to just come over here and edit this task list right here. And get the date picker. I can get all of this directly from the editor view now. And come over here and give it a high priority. I'm going to assign it to myself. Come over here and just give it some awesome text. I'm going to stop editing that list. And then we're going to see that the workflow is going to run in just a second and see what happens. If I click on that, it's going to tell me that it was a high priority task, so an email is going to be sent. So if I go into Outlook, I see one of these emails. Now, this is one from the one that I ran right before we came in here. But you see the same thing. It's got the email. Yep, there's the new one. It lets me know I've color coordinated some things, so I'm adding a little bit of formatting to that email so people can get that. So that's one example of doing that. Another example of automating a common task that's going to get people excited about using your site is, for our example, we have a marketing team. And one of the scenarios that we made up is that, you know, we have a new logo, and we're going to let people rank and vote on their logos and which ones do they want to be the next logo. And the idea is that people can come along and add different logos while we're there. But we want to remind them weekly for a period of time to go in and vote for their favorite logos. So what we have created is a site workflow that's running on a loop. So inside of 2013, you can do looping with out-of-the-box workflows, which is going to allow us to run a workflow, wait 7 days, and keep looping until we reach an end date.
This is huge. This is one of those things, yes, that people have been asking for years, and now you can do it.
This is probably my most common workflow that I've started to write in 2013, internal to our own team. I send out weekly reminders to fill out your status reports. I send out all of these different things. It's just a very easy way to point them back to the SharePoint site and remind them that they need to go in and do it.
It's kind of a balancing act, though, with, you don't want to overwhelm them with too many,
yes,
emails from SharePoint. So kind of, you don't want to go crazy and automate every single list, but kind of think about, like, what are the super important things people want to see, because if,
exactly,
they start getting too many, they'll start just putting it off into a folder or deleting them. And
so here's the end results. It says, reminder, this year we're selecting a new logo. Click here to do it. If you have questions, let us know. So this is really just a friendly reminder to go in and do it. Because it's a site workflow, we get to it through site contents. So we build it inside of SharePoint Designer as a site workflow. Then we go into site contents and into site workflows, and we can start the workflow. So we can come here and say weekly reminder for the logo contest. And I'm going to get an end date. The reason I'm pulling the end date from the users is how long do you want this to loop? And so it's going to go through, it's going to capture that end date when the workflow starts. And then the workflow is going to continually loop. It's going to run, and then it's going to add 7 days to it. And then it's going to check, am I past the end date? Should I stop or should I keep looping? Okay, and so that's something that's going to happen. Now, this is probably new to a lot of people if you haven't seen how to do this. I have a blog post that maps out step by step how to build out this entire example that's listed in the resources thing. So if that's something that you're looking at doing of some just quick and easy reminder workflows that need to be repeatable, there's a couple of different ways you can do that now inside of 2013. And so we've got some more step by step listed out for you for that. But that's a huge way, especially as you're trying to overcome some of the cultural hurdles of, do I proactively go to something? Is something pushed to me? I've lived my whole life in email, and now you want me to not. And change is hard. And so these are some of the things that we can do to bridge the gap to just drive users to different pieces of behaviors. Let's hop back to the slides. So we want to take every opportunity we can to automate the process. There's also some new ways inside of SharePoint Designer that let you go in and visually design the workflows. I'm probably going to skip past that just based on time, because if you give Laura and I a mic, we could probably talk for days. In fact, we usually do. We've got some additional resources here for you guys to do all of this, but we'll hop over now to Laura.
Thank you. All right, so our next tip is going to be design your site to encourage social interaction. And when I say social interaction, I not only mean people in your organization interacting with each other, but I mean interacting with SharePoint, participating in SharePoint. A lot of the coolness in SharePoint is search, and search really relies in a lot of ways on the content in SharePoint and it being valuable and relevant. So things like tagging content and filling in all your user profile information and you know, people participating, rating things, etc. All that participation and interaction with the users on the SharePoint site improves your SharePoint implementation altogether. So here are a few things. One just basic thing is just the home page in everyone's browser. So you can think of something you like the sites page that everyone gets in your top navigation in 2013. Make that your company corporate homepage. Use group policy to roll that out to actually force people to start off there, so they're immediately seeing the list of SharePoint sites that they use every day and that they go to or that have been targeted to that person. There are also a lot of great social features that let people interact. So obviously there's Yammer. I'm sure you haven't heard anything about Yammer this week, right? So there's Yammer. A cool thing about Yammer is, you know, Jennifer mentioned people love email. They live in their email. Well, Yammer, we can wean people away from email, because even when you start getting notifications from Yammer, you can still hit reply in your email. And the conversation stays in Yammer. So that's another great thing about it, is that all the people that are maybe afraid of change or not know what Yammer is, they can still participate in Yammer and not necessarily even know they're doing it. We can also, another sort of social thing that we can do to get people to interact with the site is use those enterprise keywords. There's a checkbox in your document library that I can show you that turns on the ability to use enterprise keywords, and then you can display those in your views, so people can see a list of documents in a library or see a list of items and then see those keywords associated with it right there on your default views. And that, when people see it, it encourages them to say, oh, well, hey, you know, I think this other keyword belongs to this item too, and really get involved and start adding their content and their information to it. Another thing we have here is ratings and likes. So ratings and likes, again, like Jennifer mentioned, we have this logo contest that we've put in here. You can turn on ratings for any list or library, and now it's a new thing in 2013 to where not only do you have the 5-star ratings, but you can just let people click a like button. So presenting that information, presenting that ratings column to people or the likes column in your views is going to encourage them to just quickly give their input in SharePoint. That's one of the things about SharePoint is, and just the way people work, is that it's really helpful to think about those people and that they just want to do their jobs. They just want to quickly be able to work on their spreadsheet or do their email or whatever they're doing. But if you put something in front of their face that they're just going to see and easily just go be able to go click a star or, you know, or do a tag, then that way they're participating and they hardly even know they did it. It's just nice and easy and natural for them. So I'm going to go ahead and do a demo of a couple of these things. All right, let's see. Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the logo contest submission with the ratings and likes. And so here is our logo contest. People have been adding new pictures to this library. They've been creating their own logos. What company would do that? Let just anybody in the company create their logos. We're pretty forward-thinking company.
We live,
right?
In a dream world, right?
So I created this Contoso one, by the way. I was
Mine
pretty
are
proud
prettier.
Of that. No, yours are prettier. So these are the logos that people have submitted. So what we've done is we go to the library settings. And in here we have the rating settings. So all you have to do is change it to yes to turn on the ratings and then just pick whether you want stars or likes. So, and then as soon as that's turned on, you have new columns that are going to be available to you to go ahead and add to your views. So what we've done here is we've created a view on the homepage that simply has a thumbnail. It's the thumbnail column that exists in that library, and then the rating. So it lets people quickly see that on the homepage, and then they're participating. They're going in here and adding, just clicking on a star to vote for the ones that they like. And then we can even, you know, just have the view sorted so that the one with the highest rating is on top or something like that. So that's again, another way that you're putting it in their face and you're making so that it's easy and simple for them to participate in SharePoint as a whole and not necessarily have to think too hard about it. And I'll go ahead and show you the enterprise keyword functionality. And this is also going to tie into some Office integration stuff that I'll talk about later as well. Here in your library settings, I have enterprise metadata and keyword settings here. And I've checked both of these boxes. So once you do that, it's going to put a new field in your settings for each of your items in your library. So I can go in here and go edit properties, and then I'm going to get my enterprise keyword field, and then that's the way people can quickly go and tag stuff, and you can display this field in your views. All right, let's see. Another thing I was mentioning is this sites tab up here that's in Yammer and SharePoint 2013. You have links up here at the top, that the ones with the pretty little images, and you have the ability, you as the site administrator or the SharePoint administrator, have the ability to manage what the promoted sites are, and you can even target those, again, to audiences, which are super cool. You can target each of these hyperlinks to audiences, and then, of course, you have the follow button at the top right corner of every single site in SharePoint for people to quickly follow things. And that way, if you make this site, this just sites page, the default homepage for everyone in your company, they immediately see their sites that they're following, that's the stuff they're working on, that's stuff that's been targeted to them. And that way it all comes together and they're using SharePoint and they don't have to go digging for things. Again, kind of like we saw again in the keynote. And then another thing to mention here, as far as participation goes, is the community site template. We don't necessarily have enough time to demonstrate the community site template, but again, it's a site. In SharePoint 2013, it's a template that lets people go in there and have conversations, have a forum, or have discussions about topics, and easily be able to go in there and reply to each other and do likes and things like that.
And it's a good alternative if you're an organization that cannot yet move to Yammer. It's some of the tools that can be used on-prem as you're regrouping until a point where you can take advantage of some of those new features.
All right, I think we're ready to move the next step.
All right. The next one that we are going to talk about is utilize existing content and apps within your solutions, right? So this is a big one for me because I love to build cool new stuff. I hate to build what's already been built. So if there's things that I can take advantage of and things that I can use, I want to take advantage of them and use them. And one of the great new ways that we can do that inside of SharePoint is through the App Store. So how many people have added apps to their 2013 site from the App Store? See, this time next year, if I ask that question in a size this, you know, a room this size, probably everybody would raise their hands. Because as SharePoint matures and different things come about in Office 365, it's going to be even easier for people to get apps into the App Store so that we can take advantage of them. So what we want to do is to be able to go into our solutions. When I have a new thing that I need to build, let's for instance say I need to build a contact management system or I need to build something along these lines, one of my first thoughts should be, has somebody already done this? Can I go find something that exists today that I can use to satisfy my needs? If you can switch me over, Laura. So one way to do that is to go into the SharePoint store. So I'm going to go to my site and go into site contents. I'm going to add an app. And when I come over here to add an app, I have a link here for the SharePoint store. I'm going to click into the SharePoint store, and I'm going to see all of the apps that are available for what I'm doing. Some of them are free. Some of them have a cost associated with them. A lot of them have a free trial that you can then upgrade to an associated cost. So there could be different things that I needed to do. What if I needed to take a poll? What if I needed to, you know, do some of these different things? There are some extremely cool ones out here that are starters for things you can do inside of Access. One of them that I especially like to show is the business content or contact tracker. So if I want to add this to my solution, I can click on this. And then I can say add it. It's going to go ahead and build it and put it within my site. I already have it added to my site, so I'm going to go back to my team site here. And I'm going to open up the solution.
So this is Access Services 2013.
Yes. This is an Access app that was made available through the store. So now look at this. It's got all of the sample content. So the idea of having to do contact management, well, look at this. I've got contacts, companies, opportunities, products. All of this work has already been done for me in a rich way, so now I can take advantage of it. So it's one of those things that, you know, maybe I'm prototyping, maybe I'm trying to get people excited about using SharePoint and trying a new solution. The app model is going to make it so that we're going to be able to pull these things off of an existing solution and bring them into our environment to have, you know, help cut down on the things that we have to build. And so as we're looking at doing things, when it comes to usability and adoption and different things like that, typically if someone is deploying an app or building an app, they've thought through a lot of these things and taken the time to do it. Now, that's not to say that every app is going to be like that, but it's a good place to start so that you can take advantage of the things that already exist so that you don't have to build everything from scratch. And it's one of those areas that I'd love to see an uptake in people using it because it can bring so much value to existing solutions that you're trying to build.
One of the great things about Access apps specifically is that if you have Access on your computer, you can just click the little gear at the top right corner and then go start customizing it further. And you know, you just use the what you started with as a template, and then you have more ideas and you just build it out.
Yep. So that was our thoughts on the App Store. So we just, you know, it's just definitely something that you can utilize existing content that is there so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So I put a bunch of links there for you as you're going to try to find out different things of how to work with the App Store and different things along those lines. All right.
Okay, and this is our last tip, tip six, take advantage of Office integration with SharePoint. Office integration is one of those things that's always been there, but it keeps getting better and better and better each iteration of SharePoint. Because, you know, where do people work? They work in Office. They work in Office files. SharePoint and Office are integrated. So guess what? They don't have to necessarily remember where SharePoint is or have to have all these multiple places where they have to remember to go. They can be in Word or in Excel and wherever they're working, and SharePoint comes to them. They don't have to do all these extra steps. So I'm going to show you some examples of the Office integration and just how we're making it easy for users to just do their work more efficiently, right? Okay, so we have office client links. We have a way to create promoted links to push out to all the office clients. This means that you can take links to document libraries, links to sites, links to your content that users are using, and not only push it out and promote it to the whole company, but you can even target those links to specific audiences that you've defined. So you can say, I have the marketing documents, document library that everybody in marketing uses a lot. I can just target that link to the marketing team, and that's an audience I've defined. And then when they're in their office programs, they're going to automatically see those links that are targeted to them. This has been around for a couple of versions of SharePoint. I've pretty much never seen anybody. Has anybody used this, the promoted? Yeah, nobody. So it's kind of funny. All right, I'm going to demo that. Office web apps, very cool. Office web apps, I'm going to show you what you can do to display information from an Office file just on your homepage. So you're not only are you showing them the content by maybe just showing it a list on the homepage, but you can display an actual file right there just to let people immediately see that.
I'd have to say that between Office web apps and promoted links, those are probably my top two things inside of 2013 that just keep coming up over and over again as ways that just add value. To be able to put a document on a page, to be able to see a preview of it, to be able to get that rich interaction so quickly have had huge impact on the users that are working within the solutions.
It's pretty, it makes them happy, right?
It's valuable though too, it's pretty
yes.
and valuable.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So then another thing that we have is live co-authoring. So live co-authoring is huge. It lets people work in their documents, in their Excel files, whatever, doing their job and interacting with other people. As long as that file is stored, SharePoint, OneDrive, whatever it is, yep. Multiple people can be working on that file and collaborating with each other. It's all about collaboration, right? And they're collaborating.
Laura and I actually used the live co-authoring as we built these PowerPoint presentations. And it would be funny, sometimes we'd be talking about something that we would change, and I'd go in and change it, and she's like, wait, I got a conflict notice. Are you changing the same thing? And so
right. It
resolved very well when two of us were working on the same thing and at the same time. And so we spent quite a bit of time co-authoring PowerPoint.
Yeah, I'd go in there at 10 o'clock at night and say, Jennifer Mason is currently editing us. I'm like, wow, she's up late. So yeah, you can always see who's in there editing the file at the same time, and it'll let you know if you have a conflict or what happens with it, with Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all those. All right, let's see. I'll go ahead and do my demo.
Oops, switch here.
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to show you this publish links to Office applications thing that is so elusive that apparently no one does. This is actually an admin thing, I know. My background is in server administration, so I still think some of this stuff is pretty cool. Now, this is an admin thing, but the reason I'm showing you this is because the admins don't know it's there. Someone's got to tell them. So even when I was a server admin and I said, hey guys, other server admins, this promoted links to Office applications thing, maybe we should use that and promote some links out. But they said, but the business hasn't asked for that. So we never use it. But guess what? The business didn't know it existed. So I'm telling you, the business or the power users, that it exists, so you can go nag your SharePoint admin. And this exists in both Office 365 and SharePoint.
And I hear most SharePoint admins work for cookies. So if you can handle that, they'll fix it for you.
So in Office 365, I'm going to do admin SharePoint. And then I'm going to go to user profiles. If you're in on-premises, you're just going to go to the user profiles and properties service application. Right here, publish links to Office client applications. It's always been there since SharePoint 2007. So here's where we go to find those. So I've put a couple, I'll show you what it looks like to create a new one. Did I hear some applause? Pretty cool. So all you do is put your URLs here. So your URL is going to be to a library or a site, wherever that content is. Give it a title, a description. You can do an image if you want to, but here's where you pick what the content is. So if you put a URL to a document library, you have to say that it's a document library here. If you put a URL to a team site, you say that it's a team site. And then you don't have to define an audience. But if you do define an audience, this is where you would do it. And then this is going to actually come from your audiences that exist here in your user profile, as user profiles area as well. So I'll just show you where that is real quick. That is manage audiences in case you weren't aware of that. So let me go back into Publish Links to Office Applications and show you one of the ones I've created. So this is a hyperlink to a document library. I've called it Marketing Documents, and then I'm describing it. These are the documents for the marketing on the marketing site, and I've even given it an image. And then here's a case where, again, I could make it show that for everyone in the enterprise, or I can say I've defined a team of people who are the marketing people, and they're the only ones that need to be able to see it. And then when people are in their office applications, you're going to do File Open or File Save As, and you have that SharePoint option in there. They're going to see the promoted links. They're going to see them right there, just like they see the list of recent places that they've gone in SharePoint. They're going to see the ones that have been targeted to them in that same place. All right. And then we've got, let's see, I'm going to demonstrate this thing on the homepage. Let me go ahead and navigate back over there to the marketing site. Okay, this is a PowerPoint presentation displaying right there on the homepage, and this is in a document library on my site. So I'll go ahead and show you how we made that so that it displays there prominently for the end users. Go ahead and go to my document library, and then I would pick a file here, and when I do the little ellipsis that pulls up extra information about that file, I can go in here and have a little drop down here. Where did the drop down go, Jennifer? Let's see. Right here.
Yeah.
It says embed information. So I go to the file. I see the picture of it because I have Office Web. You have to have Office Web apps. I see the picture of it, and then I click embed information on this little menu. It's kind of buried in there, isn't it? It's not one of those out-of-the-box web parts that's going to be showing in your list of web parts. This is kind of one of those things that's hidden in there that you have to know where to go. So I click embed information, and this gives me some code. What's code? I don't know.
Don't worry. You don't have to write any syntax.
You don't have to know what it means.
You don't have to write any semicolons. You just have to copy it.
So you just basically hit Control C, hit the copy button. So you take that code that it shows you, and that's what you're going to need to use when you go to your homepage. So when I go to my homepage, and I'm probably just going to add, I don't think I copied it, but what I'm going to do is I would go here and do insert and then embed code. So as soon as you paste that information that you copied from with the iframe and all that garbledygook that it said in there for that one file, that's where you paste it here, and then this is what it looks like once you click OK. It looks like this snippet, and then it displays your file for you just magically. Pretty neat. All right. Okay.
There's a lot of different ways that you can do this. If you have a policy that you want people to be able to read through and see if there's different content, like if you want them to be able to go do it, and then maybe put the discussions on the same page so that they can have discussions about it. So the more you can make this information available. Also, when you go to the embed screen, it's going to let you pick the dimensions that you want to embed it. So you might want to do a full screen versus a small snippet versus a medium one. So you can have those different dimensions and then use it on a page as appropriate.
Right? Okay, so let me go ahead and go back over to... Let's go back over to the slides. And we've got some additional resources. Here's this. All right, and this is going to be, it's a little bit, detailed, the published links to Office applications and making sure it shows up on all the clients and those types of things. So I've given you more information about that. Some of these things, like the links to Office client applications and the audiences, they've been around since SharePoint 2007. So when you go start looking for information on how to do this for SharePoint 2013, you're going to find a lot of information that looks like it's old and it's from 2007. But guess what? All the instructions are pretty much exactly the same for that stuff. And it's just, it didn't get rewritten with branded with SharePoint 2013. So, all right.
Awesome. We wanted to be sure that we wrapped up and gave enough time for Q&A. So as our final slide here, we have our contact information where you can find us on Twitter. We also have a link to some resources that are basically a summary. If you didn't want to have to go pull back all of the slides, you could go to this URL and get an entire list of the resources that we mentioned here. We also have a link where you can go sign up. We're going to do some additional webcast afterwards on some more out-of-the-box features that you can do with SharePoint. So if you guys are interested in any of that, you can definitely do that. So
SharePoint.rackspace.com/SPC. Oh, and some coworkers and I have something we do every Wednesday at 11 Central, SharePoint Power Hour, where we broadcast it live on YouTube, and we just sit there and chat about business solutions and do demos and things like that. So that's just free for anyone. Go to my blog to read more about that.
Yep. So hopefully this has been helpful. We've got the mic set up if you guys want to ask any questions. And then while supplies last, we have some fun stickers up here for those that are into the no-code solutions. So
here's one
we'll
mic,
take questions if you guys have them.
Yeah, there's just one, right?
Thank you, guys. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I have a two-parter.
Don't forget to evaluate our session.
So on the app store, so you added the apps. Two things. If we're in Office 365, they're pushing out changes all the time. How do we know if that app that we added is going to work with the change?
Okay.
That's a great question.
So the first question, if you guys didn't hear it, is if someone's we purchase an app, they're making changes to Office 365, how do we know if it's going to break and make a change? I'd say that the people that are developing the apps are working with that. There have been instances in the last little bit where something has happened. Usually the developers of the apps are quick to fix those.
And so do we have to re-download them?
You shouldn't have to re-download it. There'd be an update to the app. So just like you have on your phone, mm-hmm. and you see that you have updates and different things like that, when you go into site content, you'll see, oh, there's an update for this app, and you would need to go pull that new one. So it's definitely, as the app story evolves, you're going to start to see less and less of that.
But we have to actually go look to see if there's an update. It doesn't automatically, like,
it's not going to automatically update it, which
or
is...
Or tell us.
You'll be notified in the site contents page. I don't think it's going to automatically automate you, but that'd be a good question.
But I'd have to know to go to the site contents page.
Yes.
Okay. And then my second question on that is, how do I stop everybody in my company from using that and only let one or two people use that feature?
The App Store feature?
Yeah.
I don't really think you're going to, I mean, you can disable the App Store, but I don't, if they can add contents to the site, they can
so
add things
no
to the store.
Lock it down?
Or it's not. It's not a permissions-based thing. So you can't say this person can do it, but this person can't. It's if they can add new contents, like new apps, even out of the box apps,
right.
Then they're going to be able to pull them from the App Store.
Okay, thank you.
The relevant documents, what part? At what level in the site does that go to? Is it the whole site?
The relevant documents?
Yeah, or
that's
is it just
that in
site?
That one site.
That
yeah.
one site, so it doesn't go like team sites or sub
yeah.
sites?
No, in 2013, you would use the content search web part, which you can go across.
Okay.
Yeah, so
all
there's
right.
other web parts that would give you that same thing. The question was, is the relevant documents web part, what's the scope of that? Where's it pulling from? And the answer was, is the relevance document web part is pulling from just that site. But if you wanted to get relevant documents across, you'd use one of the search web parts. Yes, sir.
First of all, I'm a huge fan of both of yours, by the way.
Thank you.
But, the embed code for Office web apps, is that available in 2010 or just 2013?
The embed code is a new 2013 thing, right?
Yeah, it came with Office Web Apps. So anytime you open a document in Office Web Apps, you can go to Share, and one of the options is embed, and that's where they generate that code for you. So
it's not in 2010.
It's right? not,
but
yeah.
Not 2010, just 2013.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Hi. Hi there. Just curious, I was looking on Yammer and didn't see your particular presentation posted there.
Oh, okay.
Well, I thought it was. We'll get that fixed.
Okay, thank you.
We will and you get can that always fixed. Go to SharePoint.rackspace.com/SPC and get all the resources. Okay.
Hi.
It should be there. So I thought it was because I thought we were discussing it, but I'll check with Cyrielle and make sure we get it there. No problem.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Is there a way to dynamically link the embed code web part with a document library web part on the same page? So if I click on one of the documents in the document library, it just renders in the embed code.
That would be so awesome,
that would be cool.
But no.
You'd have to hover over each one, and then you would still see as you hover over it.
I'd venture to say
if you
knew a developer or were comfortable with syntax and semicolons, you could probably write something with search and hover panels and different things along those lines, but not out of the box. It's not going to give you that.
Okay. That's a good idea.
I started to play with it, but I didn't know if you guys were already kind of going in that direction, so save me the time.
Yeah. Awesome.
Is there a way to get back the navigate up function?
From
to get back what?
The navigate up.
Oh, navigate up.
Not out of the box, right?
Yeah, not out of the box. You'd have to do custom branding to make that happen and make that available again. I would be one of those things that I'd try to fully understand what are the users doing and where is it tripping them up to see how you might be able to design the site differently. Because while Navigate Up was awesome, it still also wasn't awesome in all scenarios. So that's one where I'd want to step back and say, okay, apart from all of the technology, what are you trying to do and why and what's difficult about it? And you might be able to accomplish the same end
goal
without
too.
Bringing that back.
Okay.
But if you can't, then you'd need to go down the route of custom development for the master page to put it back.
Thank you.
No problem.
Hi. I have two questions. One, can you do the slide that you had before with all of the links? The two before this. Because I want to take a picture of it. And number two, the co-authoring, I have site set up. My users aren't in it yet. But I have check-in, check-out working and not co-authoring.
Don't use check-in, check-out.
I want to use co-authoring, but I don't know what setting I have set that
under site settings, and then under advanced settings,
under your library settings,
we can actually show that.
Okay, I'm going to sit down so I can type this up.
Can you switch me back over?
There we go.
So just in the document, and you go into the library, and you go to the library settings, these versioning settings
it's a little misleading.
Are going to come down here where it says require check-in and check-out. And by default, document libraries and SharePoint are open. So you're not going to have any version control. You're not going to have any check-in and check-out. It's going to be meant to be a place where people can drop things. Co-authoring is going to work.
So when you set versioning, because we set versioning, so that might have...
The versioning isn't actually related to the check-in, check-out. It's just on the same screen.
People can
still check stuff out, though, even if you say don't force it.
You typically want to choose one approach or the other and have it, I'm checking in, I'm checking out, I have all of these versionings, or I'm co-authoring. They're kind of two separate things because the co-authoring is going to be continuously saving the document based on people's changes. So that might be one where you just kind of have to understand the use case and then work to educate the users and use kind of one or the other.
Okay, and can you go one back from this one?
Yes, okay.
Oh, one more? Okay.
One more back. She wants the last resource site.
Okay. This is all on our site, too.
Yes, sir.
Hi there. My main question, I know it can be a long conversation, but what is the best resource, to go site collections versus subsites and trying to tell users that? Because we have a 2010 environment that's very wide, but then it started going very deep, and the sprawl is kind of out of control. And when we set up 2013, I'm trying to find out what the best resource for that is. Or a future blog post for one of you.
That's a beautiful question that can get answered in two words, and those two words are, it depends.
I know, that's the problem.
And that's the hard part. So what I would recommend that you do is figure out an information architecture across the different web apps and where you're going to have site collection and who's going to have permission to what, so that you can end up with the stuff that needs to remain structured, be pretty structured, and then you end up with the wild, wild west where you're kind of, oh, you guys are awesome, go do what you want, you're within your own site collection, I'm going to give you guidance, but you kind of have this wild, wild west area.
Okay.
But what you don't want to do and have happen is something business critical gets in that wild, wild west area, so you kind of want to look and figure out, how do we map this out to control it through that information architecture to say, okay, it's critical that this doesn't span out of control, so that means this is how we're going to control it, versus I really don't want you to create a lot of site collections or subsites here, but if you do, like you're managing the United Way campaign, I don't care. Create all the subsites you think you need because it's just not as critical. But if I'm doing that for this, it's an issue. So it's kind of finding that balance. And the other thing is unfortunately, it's one of those ones where you could do it a million different ways, and until something breaks, neither is right or wrong.
Yeah. The big problem I'm seeing, everyone just says, I want it as the org chart. create me the top level and then the sub sites. And then we reorg all the time.
Yep.
And I've been telling them no, but I'm trying to get that through to the users,
to
go from the org chart.
I'll create site collections all day long, and I'll have a very wide implementation. And then if somebody needs an org structure navigation, I'll go build a navigation that links to it so they feel like it's in that type
of
structure.
I've done that before too, yeah.
But I'll have it spread out. And so
when
in doubt in my case, and this is just Jen Mason's personal opinion, when in doubt in my case, if I'm struggling between a subsite and a site collection, 9 times out of 10, I'll create a site collection, because if I don't, later I'm going to be really sad that I didn't do that.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. We're not running into the
next
guy.
We're not run over yet.
Okay, we've got some more time. Yes, ma'am.
I have a very quick question regarding an Excel web part.
Okay.
So when you bring in an Excel web part to any SharePoint site collection, does the document again needs to reside on the same site, or somehow you can do it across site too by doing some sort of trusted locations or those kind of stuff?
We're talking about using the Excel web app, web part to display an Excel spreadsheet that's a different site collection?
Yeah, if you're using, so we did two different things. If you're using the Excel services web part, you're going to be pointing to a library in that site.
Within that site.
If you're using that embed code that we showed you,
you
could do it that way, and you would just want to make sure that whatever link you're embedding to, everyone has access to.
Or else
but will it work
ugly.
In 2010 too? Or is it just a 2013?
The embed code is,
just in 13.
2013? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad a lot of the stuff I showed was 2010, in 2013, because a lot of people have had 2010 questions.
Awesome. Well, we're going to be at Ask the Experts tonight if you guys have any other questions. And y'all can grab some stickers, and thanks for coming, and fill out the evals.
Are you gravitating toward the microphone over there?
Oh, you were? Go, gravitate. We've got time.
Very simple question, actually. For the embed code, do you have to set a width and height, or can you have it dynamically sized?
You have to set it.
Okay. All right. That's my only question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I wish you didn't have to, but you have to set it.
Oh, right. Screen resolution.
I think that's going to be one of those areas that as we move towards the future, I mean, just by what they showed in the keynote, they have such an emphasis on my phone versus this versus that, that they're going to naturally have to get to that state. So I think it's the future of where we're coming, but
got to get there, right?
I guess, You have a question? Yes, ma'am.
I'm kind of too new to the whole web apps and how it works, but I heard in a session that if you don't set content types on a library, it automatically, magically has this integration with the web apps. But if you start setting content types, then that goes away?
Oh, I know what you're speaking of. It doesn't go away. It just is displayed differently. So if you, when you're in a library.
Oh, you're going to flip it back over?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. When you're in a document library and you come over here and it says new document, by default, you're going to get all of those different things. As soon as you attach custom content types, you have to go to the ribbon and go file new, and then your custom content types will be there.
Is that what you're asking about?
They're not visible. You could add them back. So I actually have a blog post about adding Word, Excel, PowerPoint back to that thing. Look at my blog if you can't find it. Find me, email me, or tweet me or something, and I'll help you find it. But you can add it back. Awesome. Very cool. Well, I'll help you get that. Yeah, it's a little tricky. I think, again, that's a miss on the UI, but hopefully. No, it's when it first happened, like when it came out and I was seeing it, I was like, what the heck? Like, what did I do to break this? And then once you understand what happens, it's like, oh, okay. So now it's just an annoyance that you have to work through. Awesome. Cool. Any other questions? One more.
Do you have any recommendations for handling Word templates or PowerPoint templates in SharePoint?
Yeah, well, the publish links to Office applications thing that I told you about, you can use that.
No, I mean, if you have a lot of different templates.
Oh, you're asking about the actual templates, not like providing them to users?
Yeah. So if you have a lot of templates, I've read somewhere that you should create a content type for each. That's
right,
what you
right.
Have
That's
to
what
do
we use content
to.
Types for. And
but,
then.
But I really don't want that many content types.
So what you can do in a situation like that is possibly use the content type hub, and then just have them all, and then only utilize certain ones in certain site collections. Lori Gowan's session, which is in the next one, is all about content types, and she may kind of address that there, but you're right, it's kind of one of those things. Were you in the form session? In the form session yesterday, and they talked about InfoPath, and one of the things that they talked about is this concept of this structured document that needs to be a document with blanks that gets filled in. It's all about presentation and it's printable. And that usually falls into that concept of what you're talking about. And they committed to, by the end of the year, have a roadmap for that type of scenario for how all of that works. So the answer today is content types, with a recognition that, okay, that's a lot of work and it's a lot of different things and it's not easy, it's hard to manage. So right now the answer is content types, and we just have to look out to the next year to kind of see the changes that they're making. There's also a user group, it's called User Voice is what it is, right? If you go look at the form stuff, a lot of that link was shared there where you can go give that type of feedback and kind of get in on helping shape what those features look like.
One cool thing that you can do though is create each one as a content type and just create one library called templates and put them all in there, and then using this promoted links to office applications thing, when people go to open office to create a new file, it's going to have a little button there that says custom, and when they click that, they'll see your company's templates right there from within their office applications, and they can pick one, and it makes their life a lot easier. They don't have to know where to go. But they do have to be content types. Yeah, anybody else? Awesome.
All right, thanks guys.